Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, Boardroom Podcast listeners. Coming up, we have a rather insightful conversation with Lior Zimmerman, an Israeli surfer. But first, let me tell you about the Boardroom International Surfboard Show presented by U.S. Blanks. It's coming up October 12th and 13th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. And specifically, I want to tell you about the Best in Show Board Build-Off. This year's category is Twinser. So build a Twinser, any Twinser, longboard, shortboard, gun, out of any materials. Just build your best Twinser, your version of the Twinser design, and be in the running to win cash and prizes. Any surfboard builder in the world can enter the Best in Show Board Build-Off at the Boardroom International Surfboard Show. All you got to do is send us an email, scott@boardroomshow.com, to let me know you're going to be involved, and you're in. By the way, the Best in Show Board Build-Off is the last available sponsorship, so if you're interested in supporting the board building community, this is a great way to do that. Also, coming up shortly here, April 6th through April 20th, the California Gold Surf Auction, Spring 2024 edition. Some incredible surfboards: Barry Kanaya Pooney, Pat Curran, Jerry Lopez, Dick Brewer, Hobie Alter, Steve Liss, Skip Fry, Tom Morey, Dennis Pang, Terry Martin. The list goes on and on. The California Gold Surf Auction, Spring 2024. The auction catalog is available for preview beginning March 28th, and the bidding begins Saturday, April 6th at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Lots will then begin closing 2 weeks later, Saturday, April 20th, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download the app, California Gold Surf Auction, and bid from anywhere in the world with your iPhone or tablet, or simply bid from the comfort of your home computer. Auctions.thevintagesurfauctions.com. That's plural. Auctions.thevintagesurfauctions.com. And now, onto the podcast. I met Lior Zimmerman at Surf Expo in Orlando. We had a fun chat, and I thought it might be interesting to get the take of an Israeli surfer in reference and in context with the situation in Gaza and in Israel. A little bit out of our wheelhouse, perhaps, but I think you'll enjoy this. The Boardroom Podcast with Lior Zimmerman. Let us begin. Lior, Lior, welcome to the Boardroom Podcast. It's great to see you this morning. I don't know, what time is it in Israel?
Now it's 4 p.m.
Okay, well, you and I met at Surf Expo in Orlando, and we started talking. I thought it'd be fun, or at least insightful and informative, to chat with you a little bit about Israel and surfing in Israel. I know that Dorian Paskowitz introduced the sport of surfing to Israel, I think sometime in the 1950s. Is Dorian sort of revered in the culture there in Israel and surf culture?
Yes, I think very much. I think he's very much involved, especially because of Arthur from Dr. Surf. You have a local surf shop, probably the most innovative surf shop in Tel Aviv in Israel. And he is really promoting what Paskowitz have done. So I think through him, his legacy in Israel in the surfing culture, it's very involved, yes. And by the way, his son, Paskowitz, which is now Isaris, the wetsuits, is a nice guy, Abraham. We're working with him a lot.
Yeah, Abraham, he's a super cool guy, really fun guy. The whole Paskowitz family is very nice. Tell me a little bit more about this guy. Is his name Arthur?
Arthur, yes.
and how does he promote what is he promoting relative to Dorian Paskowitz in Israel?
I think, well, Arthur in surfing, I'm speaking on behalf of him. I hope it's okay. He's promoting him in every way because the surfing industry, as we know it today, so it's changing a lot. In the surfing culture, so, you know, as surfers, so the culture is trying to be as authentic as it is, as it's trying to be. I'm saying trying because today surfing, it's became a little more of a mainstream. So you see plenty of surfers at the sea, at the beach, that buying the most expensive surfboards, but do not really know how to surf or you know, they're trying to be, which is okay. And I think what is Arthur trying to do with Paskowitz is bringing more of the culture of surfing as what does it mean to be as a surfer, not a good surfer, but the feeling of surfer of surfing, that what's, you know, it's making to feel. Yeah. So for instance, when I'm surfing, I don't care if I'm surf better or not better, but the feeling, you know, the culture, the laws inside the ocean. So he's promoting this with the face of Paskowitz a lot. He actually done a very nice graffiti work next to his shop in Tel Aviv of his face, which and every time somebody's buying a surfboard from him, taking a picture next to his graffiti, which is kind of amazing.
Okay, so it's that's yeah, you've clarified that a lot. So it sounds like instead of surfing just being an activity in Israel, Arthur and more others in the surf industry in Israel are trying to present surfing through the sort of the prism of what is the history of surfing? What does it mean to be a surfer? It's more than just owning a surfboard and driving around. There's this whole stuff.
I guess so. The surfing in Israel is quite a large industry. And there is quite a lot of surfers. People think Israel, it is a small country, but a lot of them are surfers for the bad and for the worst.
How many surfers do you think there are in Israel? Any idea?
Around 300,000 surfers.
Wow.
Yeah. So a bit about myself, how do I know it?
Yeah.
So I founded LIS, Living in Sunshine, which is a surfing brand based in Israel. I founded it together with my partner Amit 4 years ago. And we actually started doing carpentry together. We done a lot of high-end woodwork, outside showers. And then as surfers, we built our own surfboard rack. I had back in the day around 7 surfboards, and we did it very fine and authentic. And then another friend wanted, and another friend wanted, and then we started to build the surfboard racks as young teens around in high school. It gone pretty well to us. We had 2 employees, and we sold like crazy. A lot of surfing systems, surfing gears, And then while we've done all of this also in the army, I just discharged the army actually 3 months ago. I've been in the intelligence. It was very, it was fun actually to be in the army. So I'm saying it in the past. It's really pretty weird for me because I just discharged of the army, and my partner Amit, he's been in the fight in a fighting unit. And a year ago, while we've been in the army, we became more of a startup, I would say, because the Israeli market, as I said, now it's big but not huge. It's not like the American crowd or the Australian crowd. So we thought how we can be a multi-country brand, and how we can be an Israeli surfing brand that will sell all over the world in each and every place. So we looked at the market and we saw our main products that were selling good here in Israel, and we took a lot of feedbacks from thousands of surfers here, our customers, and we designed a very unique surfing rack. We called it the Spirit Rack, which is basically it's a rack made from 100% eco-friendly materials. And it have a drawer underneath, so you can put your sunscreen, your leashes, your fins, whatever. And it comes in a very small box, so we can ship it all over the world pretty cheaply. And the assembly is in the consumer house, and you're assembling it without tools or screws. Basically, it's a crazy rack system that we've launched it only 3 months ago in the United States, in the Surf Expo as well.
Yeah.
And today it's It's been a crazy launch, because today we're now selling to more than 100 surf shops in the US. We're selling to distributors in UK, in Ireland, in Portugal, very soon in New Zealand and Australia. And we have plenty of customers that buying from us from across the world. We have a client from, it just purchased from South Korea, and another one from Alaska. And it's like crazy how people love our products. Yeah. And our vision is not to be a surfing rack company. It started out actually because Amit and I, my partner, we went to the mall one day, and we went to Billabong, you know, so exciting, because Billabong, a lot of it's like the marketing of Billabong, you want to be there in the culture. But then we went inside and there was only clothes or apparel. And we went disappointed, a bit disappointed, to the store next door, which is like the traveler store or whatever. And we bought a cool product to use at the beach, a tent or whatever to use for traveling. But we will not show it to our surfers friends or our whatever. Hey, look, I bought this cool product from the traveler something. So a new vision came to us, to be the one-store shop for surfers, to bring them practical products with surfing branding products that will improve their lives. Yeah. And we've done this through the Spirit Rack, because this is like the hardcore surfing product. This is allowing us to be inside of the market of surfers that have four boards and more. And now we're inside the market, and very soon we will launch plenty of more innovative products. Three of them already have a registered patent, so it will be very exciting to do another launch.
Okay, cool. So you're developing your line of products. It's not just going to be this surfing rack which holds surfboards. Which, by the way, I met you at Surf Expo. I saw the product. If I can set this thing up, anyone can, because I'm a fumble with, you know, I don't even know how to use a screwdriver. So it's easy to use this surfboard stand this rack that you've created. So congratulations.
$1,000 if you will assemble it less than 5 minutes.
After right, 5 minutes. Okay. Oh, wow. You've never seen me with a screwdriver. But the good news is you don't need a screwdriver. I know.
Yeah.
Well, look, you know, one of the things that interests me is, you know, you mentioned that you were in the army, you've since gotten out of the army. I believe that you're in the reserves.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, sort of what's happening with the geopolitical situation in Israel, it's fascinating to me, mostly because I don't know much about it. So I'm hoping you can shed some insight into it. But What is it like to be, what was it like to be a surfer, you know, before the October 7th terrorist attack? By the way, everyone knows, but I'll just quick summary. October 7th, Hamas-led terrorist attack inside of Israel, you know, was horrible. And there was, you know, killings and hostages and rape and torture and murder and all this horrible stuff that took place. Since that took place, how has it changed to be a surfer in Israel?
It's a good question, because as Israelis, I will come even before that. As Israelis, we used to have missiles, alarms all the time. And it's quite funny, actually, in the Surf Expo, there was an alarm for a hurricane. So then my partner and I and my father also have been there. It's like, what's going on? Missiles in Florida? And we went crazy. And then, no, relax. It's only a small hurricane. So it's funny. But as surfers before that, before the October 7th, when you go surfing, it's always a matter of, you know, is it a good time to go surf? Because maybe I will hear the missiles, and then what I can do? You know, I know there, for me, it was a very, I would say, a hard environment, a hard remembering of me surfing. And then a missile alarm came, and then you see all of the surfers and myself, what we will do? We do not have time to paddle out and to go to the shelter. And then you also see a good swell coming, so you do not know what to do. Will you take the wave, or will you just pray for God that it will not hit you? And this was before the October 7th. And today, first of all, there is a lot of surfers that in reserves. So plenty, almost everyone in Israel is now doing reserves. So you do not see a lot of your friends, because most of the surfers are also in the military, in the fighting units. So you do not see them for a long time. As friends,
when you're in the water, do you mean when you're at the beach, when you're at the sea?
Because all of my friends are surfers, so you do not see them at the beach, okay, or at home, whatever. But I think is to be a surfer after the I would take it as a personal question, because everyone takes surfing their own way, and I think, to me, when I go surfing after the 7th of October, it's like a place to more relax. Because in Israel, when you're driving the roads, when you're going to the street, everyone is so tense. They always look behind them. If somebody, you know, every day we have terror attacks, every day. For years, not also after the 7th, but today, it's like everyone even more cautious. And now when I go surf, finally, you know, it's like finally, everyone is so tense. And now when I go surf, it's like I can relax for an hour, do not think about nothing. And I think it's also for other surfers. And on the other standpoint, you see a lot of frustration in the surfing, in between the surfers. Because it's an intense time. Everyone taking it to a very different places. If I taking it to a finally I go to be in a calm place, maybe a different surfer is taking it for finally I can crush the waves and take all of my aggressions out of the waves. But I think the whole country is like in a trauma.
Yeah.
Everyone taking it very different. It's really what happened. It's like unbelievable. It's a butcher card. It was unbelievable.
Now, we all know that there are plenty of people. Israel is a multicultural state. There are Arabs that live amongst you. Are there Arabs that are surfers, that are Israelis, that are Israeli citizens, that are surfers, that are Arabs? And do you see them in the water? And what is it like with... Is there tension there?
So, yes, there is a Arab surfers. There is also a place in Tel Aviv called Akko, which They have plenty of Arab surfers. And I think in the whole Israel, so there is a lot of tense between Israelis and Arab Israeli, not only in surfers, and it's quite hard for me to see, because I have Arab friends, because I'm working with a lot of Arab people. So now when I'm speaking to them, it's a lot of people really get frightened of them and do not want to work with them. And to be honest, I cannot even judge those people because what's happened, it was unbelievable. But I think in the surfing industry, as a culture, as people that surf, I think the surfing people are more, they more care about the love between people. And they see the person as he is now. I do not see a lot of tense between Arab surfers and Israeli surfers, but you do see it outside of the water a lot.
When you're hiring for a small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role, and there's no faster or effective way than through LinkedIn Jobs. Your time and capital are precious, and there is a powerful resource that can help you focus on what you're good at and integrate people into your team seamlessly to help grow your business. LinkedIn Jobs has created the tools to find the right professionals for your team efficiently and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. Everyone is already on LinkedIn with their resumes and references, and now LinkedIn has designed a hiring platform to connect you with candidates specifically qualified for the job that you post about. More than 1 billion professionals meticulously organized to connect people by skill set to help us all advance our position. 2.5 million businesses already use LinkedIn for hiring, and 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. It's that fast, easy to use, and effective. LinkedIn Jobs can help you write job descriptions, filter the right person to you, and give you the tools to help you interview them like a pro. LinkedInJobs.com/surf is where you go to post your job for free. Yes, totally free. That's linkedinjobs.com/surf to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's interesting, right? Because surfers in general, we have this sort of, I don't know, there's this sense that we're sort of a global tribe because when we go into the oceans, there are no borders. We travel all over the world. We all surf together. We're almost like, well, like I said, we sometimes see ourselves as this global tribe. And that's what you're telling me is the case amongst Arab surfers and Israeli surfers within Israel, is that
Within
there's a
Israel.
little bit more, there's a little bit more openness and more, as you say, love amongst you. Whereas within Israel itself, amongst Arab citizens and is there, there's not as much trust.
And I can say it also to surfers in Israel, because if I go outside of Israel, so for instance, the Maldives, I've been there a couple of times surfing, amazing place. And I had their Muslims friends, which I thought they were good friends of mine, and I'm surfing with them. And now I know because a couple of my friends have been in the Maldives before the 7th of October, and they are following on the Instagram of all of those Muslims friends that they have, so they're really pro Hamas, and like now we cannot go to Maldives because of this. And those friends that I thought are my friends, surfers friends, they do not like they basically. You cannot go surf there anymore, which is kind of sucks. I love the Maldives.
Yeah, that's sad. That's a sad situation. So in that respect, this concept that we're all like peace-loving surfers together, we're a global tribe, is in fact a false construct. It doesn't exist because these political animosities have carried over.
I think, and it's very easy also to identify an Israeli surfer in the water, unfortunately.
How so?
As I said, the Israelis are pretty tense always, for a good reason. And in the water, so not me, but some of the surfers are taking it an aggressive. They want to take the aggressive out of the water, and you see it. You see people maybe dropping down on a wave or screaming, "Hey, it's my wave!" Some of them, not all Israelis. And it's very hard, very easy to identify an Israeli in the water, especially because Israelis love to travel. You can see them everywhere.
Yeah.
Because there's no so good waves in Israel. Everyone is traveling.
Yeah. So the Israelis in the water, you're saying, are a little bit more aggressive. They maybe paddle more aggressively. Maybe they expect more from the lineup. They're just aggressive.
Not all surfing, Israeli surfers, but a big bunch of them, yes.
Yeah.
And this is because this is the culture in Israel. Everyone is so super tense. Hopefully they will calm down. And, you know, when I've been now in California, so I walked in the streets. I've been knocking on doors to more than 600 surf shops. Like a good Israeli, knocking on doors. "Hey, I have this cool product. Have a look." And you can see that the American and the California people are not used to somebody knocking on their doors and taking 10 minutes out of the time and showing them something. And when I realized that they're not looking behind their backs at Venice Beach, just walking chill, you know, everything is okay. And then I realized they're living the life in Israel. Or for me, for instance, I would never walk super calm and chill. Never. It's something in our DNA. And I guess also in the surfing, a lot of people they're not surfing calmly.
I imagine being an Arab in Israel, being a citizen of Israel, but being an Arab is sort of analogous to being a Japanese citizen in America during World War II. We had internment camps. We took our citizens, our Japanese citizens, and put them in camps, segregated them. Is that something that doesn't happen in Israel?
In Israel, most of Arabs in Israel living peacefully between each other. We work together. We have a lot of Arab doctors, and I have a lot of Arab friends. We live peacefully. The problem is Arabs, Muslims outside of Israel, and by outside of Israel, it's 50 miles from here. Israel is so tiny. So this is the most of the problem. And they're coming in and out, making terrorist attacks. To be an Arab in Israel, I think today it's a little bit more harsh because people are very frightened. I cannot judge them. But in the end, they're going to their universities, they being doctors, they surf. Mm. Yeah.
Tell me about, obviously, of course, you're not Palestinian, of course, but can you give me some insight into what it's like to be a Palestinian, to be a surfer in Gaza right now? Does that even exist? Did all the surfers in Gaza basically get eliminated?
I do not know. I do not know how it likes to be a surfer in Gaza. I do not. I have no idea.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, I understand. Before October 7th, there was surf culture in Gaza. As you know, there was surfers, there was Palestinians that were surfers, and I imagine that that just simply isn't happening now. You know, we have the Olympic Games coming up here.
Yeah.
Surfing, of course, is in the Olympics. This will be the second time that surfing is in the Olympics. And, you know, sadly, I was alive during the Munich Olympics when Palestinians invaded the Israeli Olympic Village, the Israeli camp there.
Yeah.
Killed people, took the Israeli Olympic team hostage. It was a horrible thing. And it's a well-known, well-documented thing. It seems like the Olympic mission is to sort of spread goodwill and to show that through sporting events, we can cross our political differences and sort of come together with some sort of hope. Do you sense that surfing in the Olympics here in 2024 is going to present some sort of hope for the situation between Palestinians and Israelis?
First of all, I hope so. I know that we have representative from Israel, Natalie Lior, that will be in the Olympics, which is crazy.
So do you just have one Olympic surfer or do you have more than one?
I think only one. I do not know. Maybe more. I'm not super involved. There is no Palestinian state. There will not be a surfer from Palestine. So hopefully it will kind of make a bridge between us. But I don't think so. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a pretty deep divide, right? It's something, but you know, there's this sense that surfers are this like cool, loving, you know, freedom, like just, you know, like maybe there's an opportunity for the Israeli surf team in the Olympics to somehow do something which shows some kind of like, you know, hey, can't we all get along? I know it's asking a lot, and I know it's sort of an oversimplification, but it'll be interesting to see if in fact the Olympics even address this situation in some way.
Yes, and again, I think that it should be on the opposite side, because we surfers would there's nothing like peace and love and just surfing all of us together. But we need to understand that there is no one to talk to in the other side at the moment.
Yeah,
it's they're I'm sorry to say, but the other side at the moment, we're talking with animals. Yeah. Sorry for saying it, because you can see what happened and what will happen if we will not do something about it. The world need to do something about it, and and what's going on in the north of Israel as well. All of the north of Israel are. Basically, there is no people living now over there. They all went to the middle of Israel because there's all the time bombs and missiles to civilians' houses.
Yeah.
For us, Israel, of course, we would have peace. But in the other side, the doesn't really want it. We aren't. It's like it's a very frustrating. Thing, you know, because yeah. I've been in the army for 3 years. I know how we work. We work with dignity, and we have the laws of moral, you know.
Yeah.
The other side doesn't work like that.
Have you ever surfed with Gazans? Have you ever surfed in Palestine alongside of Gazans?
Never.
Do other Israeli surfers ever venture down into Gaza to go surfing before October 7th?
Never. Israelis cannot pass. They cannot go to Gaza.
Okay, you're not allowed to.
But Gazan people went to Israel and worked here. They work in agriculture. They worked in.
Do they surf? Do they come up to surf?
I don't think so. They're just going to work in Israel and then coming back to Gaza.
So the only cross-pollination between Gaza surfers...
Gazian people. The Palestinian people are living in Israel.
Right, but Gazan surfers and Israeli surfers, there's been no cross-pollination between those two surf cultures.
I know that, in my understanding, no. I have no idea.
Yeah. Do you think that that's something that, as idealistic as it sounds, would be a good step for somehow for somebody to, on one side or the other, like kind of hold hands and go surfing together, for lack of a better phrase?
Well, hopefully, but in the near future, it's really hard to say. Yeah. Because you see the people, you see what's going on. We have 170 people hostage over there, kids. It's unbelievable, and it was even more than 170. So at the moment, I didn't. It's hard for me to say.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I want to say that I believe at some point, didn't Dorian Paskowitz make some sort of peace offering through surfing to the Gazans?
Yes, I think Dorian and Arthur, they'd done something in the past. But now it would never happen. In the past, it was a lot of optimism for the worst and for the bad, because this optimism got us where we are today. But again, in the end, if there is surfers there, hopefully we'll surf together one day.
Yeah. Well, look, Lior, Living in Sunshine is the name of your company, and you've got a wonderful wooden surfing rack to hold surfboards and a whole line of other stuff that's about to be launched. You're going to come and you're going to be in California for the Boardroom show here in October. We're excited to have you there. It's going to be fun for you. I think you're going to enjoy it. I know you've been to San Diego, right? You've surfed here in San Diego.
Oh, what a beautiful place. This is really living in paradise. I surfed at Blacks a couple of times, and it's unbelievable. The waves are perfect, and you see plenty of dolphins were between me. It's like hundreds of dolphins and beautiful waves.
Yeah,
it's paradise.
Yeah, we've been seeing.
I would love to be there.
We've been seeing orcas lately. These crazy killer whales.
This is scary, though.
This is scary. Yeah, that's kind of gnarly. Well, look. We've said a lot. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about a rather difficult situation, and hopefully we'll see some resolution shortly. But it's obviously beyond our understanding, all the machinations politically that are taking place. It's a deep and convoluted situation. It's been going on for hundreds of years, and hopefully some sort of peace will come out of it all.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate you being on the Boardroom podcast, and we look forward to seeing you here in San Diego.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Told you they bought and sold you. weeks. Every mistake we must surely be learning. Still my guitar gently weeps.
And don't forget to post your job for free at linkedin.com/surf. That's linkedin.com/surf to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.